Hello and welcome to Discover Energy Work. It feels like a long time since we haven't seen you. Thanks for coming in. Today, it's kind of a new season. And the theme of my new season is Tai Chi. And I don't know if that's really going to be the theme, but I wanted to, I'm inspired by Tai Chi and the energy of Tai Chi. And, you know, I practiced Tai Chi myself for many, many years. And I look at books, I write to authors, I look at people on the internet, and I saw this guy, Jan, and I thought, he's really interesting. I really want to talk to him. And he's called Coach Jan. He doesn't really necessarily subscribe to the term Sifu, but, you know, in a way, it's really very modern that Sifus now are coaches. So it kind of is kind of the same thing. So good morning. How are you, Coach Jan?
I'm doing wonderful. Thanks so much for having me. I got the little Buddha or the big Buddha in the background here. So I just wanted to walk by that to get it on video here in downtown LA.
Yeah, the story is we just got, today's been a bit of a hectic morning. Somebody walked in late and I had to organize that. Jan was really on time, and I messed up the Zoom call invite and blah 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 blah. So, well, we're finally here. We made it. How are you? So you're having a good time walking around LA's Chinatown, which is very cool.
I'm right on the outskirts of Chinatown, so I just turned toward the direction toward the center. So hopefully, during our interview, I'll be passing by some nice landmarks.
Very cool. We can have a tour of Chinatown with a Tai Chi master. I'm fascinated. I've been looking a little bit at your background, Jan, and you studied all kinds of different things as a kid. You were growing up in New York Chinatown. Do you want to give us the story how you got to Tai Chi?
Sure. Both my parents trained Tai Chi, my mother and my father. My mother got my father into Kung Fu and Tai Chi. They started with karate and under Master Pai in, I left my blinkers on. What do you know? They started under Master Pai in New York, teaching karate. And from there, they moved to Master Lawrence Galante. And Lawrence Galante taught them both Tai Chi and Kung Fu. And, you know, very grateful for that. I've met Larry. You know, I grew up around him and several other of my parents' masters, including Master Chen Kai Chang and Sifu Keith Tong. And Sifu Keith Tong is the Wu style master whose father trained with Wu Gong Yi in they worked in a factory together in China. So I'd say that the main Tai Chi training, the main Tai Chi form that I had a foundation in was Wu style Tai Chi under Sifu Keith Tong, who's also been my family's traditional Chinese medicine practitioner since before I was born. So I grew up around TCM, a lot of energy work, and I was always impressed at how people who would be considered elderly by age were so much stronger than people in their 20s and 30s and 40s, and they could do amazing things. And I grew up around that. That was my standard. So when I look at how, you know, Western culture being a younger society by comparison, you know, there's a lot of maturing that needs to happen when it comes to the perspective of what happens as we age. And the strength should increase. From my upbringing, I just watched, you know, folks be very, very strong. They were much later in years, so that just always inspired me. And I remember when I stopped training from 9 to 15 years old because I got beat up by a family defending a friend after school in Brooklyn. Wow. I denounced my martial training and got very upset and gained a lot of weight and got very sad. But when one day it just hit me that I broke my leg and I was home and got tutored by a bunch of teachers My grade shot up because I had one-on-one time with masters, so to speak, with the folks who were very focused on a particular craft, activity, etc. And because I had that one-on-one time, I started realizing that that's how I learn best. And I realized that I remembered that, having grown up around all these wonderful martial arts masters, and I knew that there was something that I was missing out on in life. And that was my the breath work and the visualization associated with Kung Fu and Tai Chi. And I was very fortunate that breath work and visualization are always at the foundation of my training. And every teacher that has not included that, to me, it's not that they are that what they're saying isn't incredibly valid, but there's a key component that's missing, and it is that breath work and visualization. And I have felt very, very grateful in life to intimately know the breath work and visualization, and that it can benefit my life and other people as well. And that's how I coach Tai Chi foundationally, even for the sport of Tai Chi push hands, grappling, which is fairly unknown in the States and outside of Taiwan, honestly.
Right, right. And I mean, that's a whole issue we could talk about. I wanted to say can of worms, but I won't. Because there's push hands and there's push hands and there's grappling push hands and there's like the idea of push hands, and you know, sometimes it gets a lot of ego and so on. But
I think all of them are valid. Each and every one of them. Push hands for sensitivity is completely valid. Push hands for sport is completely valid. It just depends on what your goal is. And if your goal is to go and fight professionally, and I fought semi-pro Sancho under Li Tai Lung when I was 18. I fought his professional Beijing team twice. And that was a terrifying experience because there was a lot of corruption in those events, which I didn't know or didn't expect, given that I revered the culture so much. But that being said, if you are there to go and fight, there's definitely value in doing push hands competitively. Or if you're there to grapple, if you're there to play to win, there's absolute value there. And if you've evolved beyond the need to win, there's value still in push hands. I think it's one of those things that's always valuable.
Exercise. I mean, I like what you're saying. And, I think it's just the most incredible exercise. And I'll tell you afterwards, we actually have something in common, which I'll tell you about, but I'll tell you afterwards. Don't feel the need to share with the world. It's more about you than me. That's the point. Anyway.
Oh, now you got me all interested. You got to tell me.
So Discover Energy Work sort of came about because I've had incredible experiences, literally that saved my life, that I could relate directly to Tai Chi. Yeah, where say something hit me physically that was massive and it had no effect on me. And I was like, but I haven't just like, you know, done 10 breaths or, you know, gone into deep meditation and, you know, raised my hands over my head and everything. It just happened. And there was like, boom. And it was in the same day that I'd done the form. And I couldn't, you know, I'd say like, I don't want to exaggerate, but I bruise like a peach normally. Yeah. And then suddenly something like this happens and it's like, what? So I wanted to share. Also, I've got a lot of experiences with healing and psychic things. And I felt I want to share other people's experiences. I mean, I could spend one episode talking about mine, which I haven't really. I mean, because there's so many, but I'd love to share other people's experiences. So have you had any experiences where it was like, this is really about, say, your energy being moved by the visualization, or where something's happened, you've gone, well, that's not, science tells us that's not possible, but apparently it is.
To preframe this, I grew up with psychic grandmas, with a family guru, and again, around my parents' martial arts masters. So I was, the science comes secondary for our first call health wise is always to traditional Chinese medicine, and it's always the first call. So that being said, I've met challenges throughout my life as society, popular society catches up, pop culture catches up to things that you're alluding to aspects of my upbringing. And all of a sudden I'm not weird or I'm not crazy. And it's like, oh yeah, of course. You know? So I think these experiences, you know, there are some that would say that Earth is a very young planet. And, you know, there's a lot of evolving that we have to do to optimize, our human experience, which we're very much in the process of right now. But, you know, for those that have any connectivity to the things outside of the norm of, let's say, Western society, you know, it could be a struggle going through it with certain understandings and knowledge when it's not widely accepted. So so the short answer, long answer is absolutely yes. And you know, it's so many that it's tough for me to pick one.
Well, we may have to do this over two sessions, but you know, I always remind people that science is based on not on what we know, but on what we don't know. And what we don't know is really where it's interesting. I have a science degree, and you know, it absolutely becomes so interesting. Like, the science is what we don't know. That's kind of like where science. So where I am as a scientist, yeah, and I'm not a famous scientist or anything, but as a scientist, is the fact that we don't understand how this happens bears absolutely no relation to whether it does happen or not, and whether it's true or not. So very much like Galileo and all these people in our culture who had these new ideas, they generally weren't accepted at the time, but it's like a certain level of scientists has to die out, because there's so much scientific evidence from the from people like Dean Radin, the SRI, Stanford Research Institute, and so on. It's ridiculously scientific at the moment. So that's my standpoint, is that I would even say, like, if people do their homework, yeah, they'll find it scientific. But that sounds like a put down, and it's a kind of like, what do they say, a thought-ending cliche, which is, I'm not into that. I'm just saying, well, people do research their next mobile phone more than they research what they're actually capable of. They're interested in what their next mobile phone is capable of, not what they are actually physically capable of in terms of healing and all kinds of things. So what have you got for me that's like a wow experience?
Well, first I want to just address what you just said, and I like to use the analogy of quantum computing. The best definition of quantum computing that I've heard, a few weeks ago, is that rather than dealing with ones and zeros, a quantum computer can take a piece of information and hold it in multiple spaces at once. And I think that's so important for the concept of expanded awareness, expanding consciousness. And if we're going to weigh anything, I always say, you know, I'm running around promoting my company right now, Real World, because we have a campaign going on. When people ask me why I started the company, I say that there's many whys. Because what they're looking for is linear storytelling, and non-linear storytelling truly is the future. And being able to rise above duality, first of all, to even recognize duality and then rise above it, because oftentimes people don't realize that there are two sides of the same coin to a situation, but then to actually expand beyond that. That to me is quantum computing. That's what quantum computing is essentially saying, making possible from a mechanical standpoint, But all the computers, all the AI, everything that's built by humans, is essentially a projection and a fragment of what we have internally. And I think it's so important to recognize that, hey, if the computer can do that, well, imagine what else you can do. How can you take a single idea and see it from multiple angles and hold those all at the same time? And Tai Chi has taught me, I often talk about the layered visual infrastructure. I mention this in my training sessions, and I'll tell a student or a new practitioner that your breath is motivating the movement, but you're visualizing the breath as a color. That color is a vehicle for your attention. And the more you get control over your attention, the greater intent you can place into a move, etc., a moment, an area of the body, the more you can infuse it with intention. So the more control you have over your attention allows you to have greater intent in a particular area, which is essentially a way to train the willpower. And that is 1, 2, 3 layers of something that's multi-layered, because then you have the concept of maybe weight. Maybe you're imagining weight while you're pushing. Other people are focusing on a pulley system, you know, having the dantian lift just the wrists or just the fingertips. And those are two different areas, obviously. But every time you make a slight adjustment, you're actually adding a layer of dynamism. And each one of those you can spend a lifetime on. But how can you expand your mind to hold all of that at once? And in my experience, when I have been able to hold all of that at once, it literally feels like I have broader shoulders. You know, if you ever hit the term, don't ask for less weight, ask for broader shoulders from which to bear the weight with. The concept of having broader shoulders for your ability to hold ideas, to hold visualizations, to hold intentions, to program your body and to let the breath move you, and to have the time under tension, meaning the pressure creating the diamond, the time you put into your training to know the proper body mechanics, et cetera. All of those things, that's a lot to happen at once when you're doing your form, your Tai Chi form. And the Tai Chi form is not unlike any activity we do in life. And how can we expand our awareness to any and all of these activities? I think Tai Chi is a great, it's not the only training ground for that, but it is a great training ground for that. And you know, I'm consistently grateful for utilizing Tai Chi to approach the world in a way where I am the scientist of my own life. I mean, half my family on my father's side, they're scientists, they're engineers, they're, you know, and my grandfather especially, and you know, he introduced me to Star Trek: The Next Generation, which I hold in the highest regard.
Right.
Unlike the rest of the Star Treks, I hold the Next Generation as the pinnacle of the entire franchise. But you know, I forgot the guy's name escapes me. It'll probably come back to me. But just the concept of being the scientist of your own life, and that doesn't mean throw out other science, but to be constantly studying and to constantly be expanding your mind, to me, is very, very important. And and to also be able to distill your experience to say, I'm going to look at this one thing dynamically. I'm going to change my perspective of this one thing so I can hold more another perspective and understand it from that perspective too. And that's been key to my success in push hands as well.
Right. And so
I still didn't answer your question.
Yeah, you didn't. I'm very aware of that, but it's like pushing hands with you, actually. You're redirecting me, and you're accepting me and redirecting me and taking me where you want to go. So, but I mean, I suppose, yeah, I mean, would you like to answer my question? Is there something you'd...
Sure. Sure. I'd say, you know, we're all capable of so much. So, you know, growing up around, let's say, psychic grandmas and having really clear descriptions of people, predictions, even for me as a child in school, where I would deal with some teachers that were challenging or were you know, I have a challenge myself with even sending my son to any school at all. And partially this is because I've grown up around so many masters, you know, monks, et cetera, that I would rather my son have that type of experience. But the ecosystems are not as accessible here in the States. Right. And so it's really tough if he's going to any school that might consider themselves, so great, and the parents are essentially subservient to the teachers, that's not a game I play. Right. So, like, what are you talking about? Like, the first place of education is the home, and very, very grateful for the past. But what I'm getting at is that these, for someone to be able to predict someone else's movements, days in advance, because they have a certain sight, and to have that play out, to me is that happened multiple times when I was a child. I mean, more than I can count.
Was there a time where you, like, you're a kid and you're thinking that doesn't really exist, that's all made up, and then
no
experience where you went, oh, that's real? No, wasn't that okay?
No, I was foundationally taught to believe accept certain concepts as true. And so because I didn't have to be convinced, what I was reinforced. And right. I was like, oh my gosh, okay, yeah, that was great. Oh, well, psychic grandma says this is going to happen. I had multiple psychic grandmas. Technically, even my mother's best friend was like a grandma. So I technically had like three psychic grandmas. That's how many I count. And others around as well, because all of them had their own ecosystems with their own practices, and they're all from different cultures. So I'm seeing, and this ties back to Tai Chi as well, I'm seeing that multiple cultures have had the information, multiple cultures have trained, and multiple cultures can execute repeatedly. And, you know, again, we use Tai Chi push hands as an example. If it's not repeatable, it's not competition worthy. So whatever your Tai Chi is, if you can't do it on command at any given time for any person, then don't train it for, don't expect to do it in competition. So,
That's in a similar, Gongfu is, like, I tell people that I have that experience of being hit by something, but it's not a Gongfu. Gongfu is, I can say, hit me and I'll be okay. So I say, let's be clear. Don't come up with something heavy. Yeah, but that was an experience for me, but it's not my Gongfu. My Gongfu would be the ability to repeat it on call.
Beautiful, beautifully put. And I, you know, I'd say even experiences like that where it happens out of nowhere, and you're activated in a certain way, you know, that like there being many whys to an action. I think there are many whys to that as well, and that can cross over into other realms that are not simply body mechanic and structure. Because I do think that there are, that all of us have an unseen team around us, and I think that as we walk through the day, we walk with this team, and how can we augment the good we do in the world by acknowledging that. And so, you know, I say these things. I don't often talk about this at all. I've never talked about this much on podcast. So it's very, very private, very personal to me, because it's part of my foundational upbringing. And, you know, whether it's this or even how, you know, what we're doing with Real World as a company, you know, there's ways that I talk in public to help people who Real World is an example. You know, I'm in Hollywood, and so I need to speak in a certain way that allows people who are in Hollywood or thinking in the Hollywood construct to understand what we're talking about, when what we're really building is something that helps people discover something about themselves. And so, you know, the pitch for this is, we're building a cinematic social network where anything you post is part of a movie or show we're making together as a community. So people are like, oh, that's cool. But what we're really doing is, we're helping people refine their characters through storytelling, and to essentially be able to project themselves onto a character and then embody the thing that they wish to see more of in their life. That's a very particular conversation, and that's not for everybody just sitting at a studio or a network.
Well, it's very, I think one thing that inspired me by looking at what you're doing is it seems to be that you're, what I felt was a very, very important thing was Gongshuo is really about character and building good people and so on. And I feel Tai Chi is extremely suited to it. And you seem to be, for me, my impression is you're putting that almost at the front and saying, this is really like become a good person, solve your problems with Tai Chi, because there's so much potential for learning. But you've redirected me to talking about these things, which is actually good. But I would be fascinated in a concrete experience where you are left being wowed by energy. And I have...
Honestly, so I can answer that. Every single day I'm wowed by energy. Every single day. And what I mean by that is that I really believe we walk around and the code is around us. You know, I might say, okay, give me a sign that I'm doing the right thing. And then seconds later, I get a phone call from somebody that is directly toward the goal that I was doubting. And, you know, that happened yesterday. You know, it's not to say that I was so raised around this stuff that I have a single pointed mind. I hope to achieve that one day. You know, I had a dream once where I was taught how to telekinetically lift stuff. And I was like, I remember how strong the silver cord, the imaginary string above the head was, and how strong the line from my third eye to the object was. And I could feel the strength of lifting the object in the dream. And I was just like, oh man, like to achieve that in daily walking life, what an amazing, amazing gift we could give ourselves. Like, I believe all that stuff is possible. And yeah, again, I don't talk about this much because I want to make sure people know that there's a bridge to that. And when someone's talking about psychic powers or energy healing, or I think energy healing might be a little lower hanging fruit for most people, but for some people. But when you're talking about these esoteric things that are more widely accepted in Eastern culture, and we're still in a very Western world, there is so much bravado to maintain that what is known by them is valid and true. And so they're holding on so tight. And I'm like, well, how can I create bridges for people? That's really the thing I feel like I'm best at. How can I create a bridge for someone to take small steps away from where they are, to make those steps motivated by a goal of strength and a clear advantage? Here is something Tai Chi, and that the way I coach it is as a human performance tool, where you can slow yourself down and speed up your perception. By speeding up your perception, you have more data than your opponent. And when you have more data, you can make more informed decisions. And I love that. And this is very, very much influenced by my coach, Josh Waiskin, the child chess prodigy.
He wrote as well, yeah.
The Art of Learning is absolute must read for any Tai Chi practitioner, in my opinion. And many of the matches that he talks about in that book, you can see on my YouTube channel, because we shot, and we still have 20 hours of footage from our training that is not uploaded yet.
YouTube channel is, for everyone.
Oh, sure. It's Coach Jan's Tai Chi.
Yeah.
Coach Jan's Tai Chi. but essentially or World Push Hands, either one will take you to the same channel. But, building bridges to me is key, because I want to make sure that someone understands that rooting, and this is why I'm so focused on lexicon to start clarifying the difference between, hey, this is a rooting drill versus a neutralization drill. And this is, you know, a lot of times people will reference the Chinese terms for a particular move in Tai Chi. And, you know, in my... bringing this back to something we said earlier, especially with the concept of three psychic grandmas that have all had different cultural backgrounds and training, like three distinct different cultures. each culture has touched what Tai Chi has. What Chinese culture has done is it's put it in this amazing container called Tai Chi. And
Tai Chi Chuan.
Yep. And it's such a phenomenal container, but we cannot be limited by the container when it does exist in other cultures. And we have to look at the other cultures that are putting the tongue on the ceiling of the mouth, that are talking about the energy rising up out of the skull. And it's all over every culture. It's there. And if you, as you said before, do your homework, if you do your homework, you're going to start to find all these nodes interconnecting. And if once you start seeing all these things interconnecting, it could be overwhelming. And then yep. You can start talking like a guru. And then when you start talking like a guru, you start to alienate people because people don't have the bridge to take the steps with you so that they can see the practicality of these amazing concepts and practices in their own life.
I believe, Jan, I think it's about people are terrified of being made fun of and disrespected. And so once you start talking about these energy things, you think people are going to make fun of you. They're not going to take you seriously. They could disrespect you. And funnily enough, you know, at least men, if you disrespect a man, you can expect to get punched. Yeah, because that's the big call to violence for men is you disrespected me. And I don't
dislike that, but I do acknowledge it as a problem.
well, when you're introducing somebody to a greater knowledge, yeah, or let's say expansion, because greater could mean better. It's just an expansion of the knowledge. Like I always like to say, like, hey, you've got a control panel of loads more buttons you didn't know about. It's like, you know, you've got the TV thing and then you slide that little panel down and there's, well, there's all these buttons too. They do like really crazy things. But I mean, in my experience, like healing within seconds, yeah, like something that's there that's gone seconds later. It's like that's happened, yeah. All kinds of like, have you had any, I you said it's low hanging fruit, which I wasn't sure whether that's good or bad, but I mean, as far as healing is concerned, have you had any experiences on yourself or with others where you've gone, wow, that's, and I had Jeffrey Rediger, who's an MD on the show, that said spontaneous healing is not a statistical anomaly. He's a Princeton trained physician who wrote the book Cured about people being cured from incurable sicknesses. And he's out there in the medical profession saying, guys, we need to research this because this is not a statistical anomaly. This happens a lot more than a statistical anomaly because he's done the statistics.
I will say the most recent was 2 weeks ago. I was with Ben Sanchez, who is, I met him on the competition circuit at the ICMAC's International Chinese Martial Arts Competition from Nick Scrima in 2010. And he met me and my father. And you're probably going to want to interview Ben after you hear this. So Ben is one of eight people in the world that does what we'll call, and he won't call it this, he gave me this name, but it's not a name he publicly uses, Tai Chi bone setting. And what he'll essentially do is he and a assistant will identify the part of the body, maybe on your vertebrae, because I was in a car accident and got into a bunch of stunt injuries last year. They'll lay you on a table, they'll identify what's out of alignment, and then he'll whip, you know, fudging through the limb to adjust that part of the body. And we'll literally, like playing pool, shoot breathwork, visualization, intention, energy into that area and realign the bone or break apart calcified muscle, etc. And so, you know, he gave me a 6-hour experience. It was amazing. 5.5 hours, not this past Friday, the Friday before, but you know, he was doing a seminar here in LA, and I was really grateful. I you know, as part of spirit or higher power or whatever you want to call it, I woke up, on a Wednesday morning, and I said, I must call Ben. And, like, something said, call Ben. And so I'm like, okay, I'll call him. And I messaged him. I'm like, hey, when are you in LA? He's like, I just landed. And I'm like, okay, great. So he just landed. And I've needed to see this guy for the last year. The last time I saw him was just before we did the first ever World Series of Push Hands here in California, and so that was pretty spectacular to see him and to get my vertebrae aligned, to feel as if I really felt like I hadn't felt in years after a session with him. And I sent down as many friends as I could because growing up around masters, I have a deep respect for the rarity that is a master. And Ben has definitely achieved a high level of, he works with a lot of doctors and, you know, I was seeing my, accident lawyer appointed a chiropractor, et cetera. I told them about Ben, but I'm like, I can't bring Ben into these guys because as right. wonderful as they are, they don't have the same sight that he has. And it's like training. One of the push hands drills we do is we're in New York as we'll stand on the train and we won't hold anything. And while we're not holding anything, the train is moving. And then we're looking around as a team to different people on the train. And we, discreetly point them out and we name where the tension is in their body. So we're training the ability to see tension like a mile away. And so in that sense, you are sizing up your opponent by looking into the body. And part of how you learn this kind of stuff is by training yourself and getting a knowledge of your own body and saying, okay, I know how it feels to have tension in the chest or in the shoulders or in the lower back or in the hips, et cetera. And I can feel it in myself when I look at that person. So you really do a check-in with yourself as you look at another person. So it's a very intimate experience. And, but yeah, Ben hooked me up and you can find him at tingjinhealing.com. And I shot a video with him of my healing experience that I have not cut yet. I'm going to put it out probably next week. Right. But it's, and he doesn't normally allow like video to be shot, but I was like, hey man, like I need to do this. This is too many people can benefit. And he's healed and helped too many people for us not to put out a little video like this. So highly recommend checking it out.
Well, it's interesting because you said Tai Chi bone setting. You see, I learned Tai Chi originally with a master who didn't teach Tai Chi Chuan. He just taught Tai Chi. And he felt, so Tai Chi is formless, So this was in Sichuan. And he would do Tai Chi acupuncture. And he just perceived the energy. And he just stick the needle straight into the points where he needed it. And he would have, one story was my ex-wife had a cough and she was 7 months pregnant. She was about to go on board a flight and, those pressure changes and being pregnant and having a cough, that's pretty massive. And it wasn't even him that did it. I went to the clinic with her. This is in 91, around 91. And one of the aunties said, oh, I'll do acupuncture for her. I said, like, she can't do acupuncture. She's going on the plane. And she said, I'll do it with an invisible needle. And so she just like opened a space, stuck a needle in. I don't know where from. She said, this is a real needle, but it's just, you can't see it. She stuck a needle in and she'd never coughed again.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. It's
like,
this stuff is very real. Like,
that's what I'm trying to get out to people, dude.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think if you don't have a bridge to visual infrastructure, what visual infrastructure means, then it's going to be a really hard sell. But well, if you start,
I believe there's a big difference between imaginal and imagination, because I think that there's a certain power, a certain number of people that are deluding themselves by imagining.
Yes, absolutely.
And kind of start going like this trend, which is like, I'm going to imagine myself $1 million, like, and it's going to appear because I've imagined $1 million. It's like, well, the imaginal is you almost like push hands. You send out a question, you wait for the answer, and then you start working with it. Yeah. And that's where the imaginal, which is, it's not a constructed imagination as a word. It's like a perception of an internal kind.
Absolutely. What I mean by having an understanding of visual infrastructure, I'm not saying that even with my understanding of visual infrastructure I can't generate a needle-like pressure in midair right now. I can't do that. I would love to. And I look forward to being able to do that at some point. But what I'm getting at is that Tai Chi and the tools, let's call it the tools within Tai Chi, within the container, which is Tai Chi, I do think if strategically distributed, so in other words, not giving somebody everything at once, giving them the thing, meeting them where they're at, and give them that next step so that they can start to train something just a little bit beyond where they are. And then they can get that positive feedback loop from, oh, hold on, this actually works for me and the thing I already do. So let me add another thing. Let me add another thing. And then Tai Chi essentially becomes a gateway drug. And, you know, it is, I think it's so important to look at Tai Chi like that, because there, from there, there's a lot of arguing, you know, like even a few weeks ago, I, you know, looked upon some stuff on Google of people criticizing like my 2010 Tai Chi World Cup performance. And
how nobody World Cup like three times, yeah.
And so there in 2010 I got the silver. I lost the gold by 1 point. But what I'm getting at is that they're like, yeah, that no one liked the Americans. We were over at the top team's house right after that competition. You know, we're very close. We're 10-10, and Yumei Chen, his sister, and the whole family. Like we're really close with them. And so, and we're close with all the top players in the world. Like Nacho out in Spain, Barry out in London. These are great practitioners. Barry McGinley out in London. These are phenomenal Tai Chi push hand sports players. Phenomenal. And but what I'm getting at is that by recognizing Tai Chi as a gateway into all these deeper, very dense experiences, you then allow yourself the ability to not criticize somebody else's Tai Chi. And what I mean by criticize, I mean like really put a negative spin on, oh, that's not Tai Chi. Ben just showed me, I've grown up around Tai Chi. Ben just showed me his style of Tai Chi. I have no idea what he's doing. I was like, oh, I'm like trying to slow myself down to catch it. And he's like, yeah, this is Tai Chi. This is definitely not the Tai Chi I know. And, but that's okay, because that's awesome. That's beautiful. Like, how amazing.
Tai Chi is the mother of yin and yang. It's indescribable, you know. I mean, it's beautiful. Look, I'm aware of your time, and aware of our time. Thank you so much. I think you've given us like lots of to talk about. I love that I would say you're kind of like a Renaissance Tai Chi man, in the bringing Tai Chi back to its formless state, which is where it belongs. Give us the words that we need to go to your link, to your page, to support what you're doing. I'd love to get your feedback down there.
Sure. Well, I'm at Jans, Coach Jans Tai Chi everywhere on all social media. I highly recommend following the YouTube channel, which has the most content and has the most daily content coming out as well, because I have to reformat it for other platforms, but so much stuff is already uploaded to YouTube and I just have to press publish. But you can find my website at janstaichi.com. And I am, you know, in New York and LA, but I'm mostly in LA right now. And but I do fly out for different seminars, etc. And if anyone wants to support the channel on Patreon, it's patreon.com/janstaichi. And the more subscribers we have, the higher quality, more time I'll spend on the videos, because I really want to start taking them to another level. And of course, check out what we're doing at Real World, which is RELWURLD. And that's really me taking a lot of what I learned from Josh, which is how he wrote his book and trained, and how these two, one fed the other. I said, well, what happens if you add a third component? And that has been really the crux of my career in Hollywood and advising major media companies, is a transmedia trifecta. That has now been distilled into this cinematic social network that we're currently raising on WeFunder for. So realworld.com, you'll learn more about it. And you can see how I'm applying Tai Chi in the media space.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, mate.
Thank you so much, Richard. Really deeply appreciate it.
Okay, let me stop.